Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app as well. Got you covered on all things Penn State football. Dustin Hawkinsmith here with Greg Pickle and Todd Sadowski from Fox 43. Once again, we talked about the offense in the blue-white game, what we want to see there. And usually, I don't know, that's where my mind goes. I'm all for defense, but the offense is what I'm there to see. I'll admit that. But Penn State's defense has more questions to answer, especially, which is saying something when you're considering Saquon Barkley, Mike Gesicki, and Deshaun Hamilton are gone. Right up the middle of Penn State's defense, we got to see what they have. And, you know, there's a lot of really interesting pieces here, but we just don't know who's who and what's what. So the last segment, we'll talk about the offense, we left off with who we really want to see. Let's start off with that on the defense. Yep. Who do we really want to see in action, in person, and see what they're made of?
Safeties. I want to see if Nick Scott and Garrett Taylor really are the two best guys on the field, or if Lamont Wade and Jonathan Sutherland and anybody else for that matter in that group is a little bit more advanced, or, you know, how those guys line up. I think that you know, there's nothing wrong with the combination of Scott and Taylor, but I think most people assume that Lamont Wade's move to the safety spot would indicate that he'd be a starter, and it hasn't necessarily seemed to work out that way right this far along in the camp. And then Sutherland, everyone's raved about him. Somebody called him a mini Marcus Allen, but, you know, these two older guys that have been around for a while but maybe haven't made as much of an impact on the defense, especially Taylor, seem to be leading the way. So I want to watch that group as a whole and those four guys in particular.
I'm not dancing around it, guys. I want to see number 11. Out there on the field.
There you go.
You know, Micah Parsons.
Charles. Okay, there you have it.
I mean, it's been the fanfare that comes with it, the recruitment. He's going to be inside. He's going to be outside. Taking LeVar Arrington's number at 11. I mean, you know, your eyes are going to go to number 11 out there on the field, mainly because our eyes have been on that number before in the past, right? And it kind of fits that mold, that kind of size, the speed. I like the fact they moved him back outside, not because Micah Parsons can't handle the inside. I think he may grow into that role. I just think that's a lot to throw on a young kid to come in there and handle the inside of that defense. And I think instinctive, you want him playing a little bit more instinctively as a younger player to just go do your thing. I'm not saying be out of position, go chase down the quarterback, chase down the running back out of the backfield, whatever you need to do. Use all the skills and the talents that made you the five-star and all the, like I said, the fanfare and the recruitment that came with it.
Just because it's the obvious choice doesn't mean it's not the right choice, Todd. Of course you want to see the biggest freak show that's on Penn State's roster. I want to see what he's capable of doing. I thought it was interesting. You know, I wasn't really for moving him to middle linebacker, but I also think that James Franklin is playing chess where we're playing checkers in this situation. I feel like he probably wanted to immerse Micah Parsons in the defense. Let's get your head spinning a little bit in January as opposed to August. Let's see. And at the same time, you can see if he can or can't handle it. But at the end of the day, I think that outside is where he probably belongs, especially if he does have that tendency to kind of freelance and you know, what James Franklin described as being out of position, and then suddenly he's back in the picture and he's making the play as you would expect him to.
Yep.
I want to see that in action for sure. I'll stick with the linebacker position. Ellis Brooks, we know what he's capable of. He looked exactly, coming out of high school, he looked exactly like Jason Kabinda, just body-wise.
Yeah.
And I suspect that you probably don't take Micah Parsons out of that middle linebacker picture unless you have something that you feel good about there.
Right.
And as much as he wants to talk about Jan Johnson or Cam Brown, whoever else he's mentioning in the middle, I have to think that Ellis Brooks, it's his job to lose. I have to, you know, again, we don't know what exactly is happening behind the scenes, but Ellis Brooks, what are you capable of doing?
And Dustin, you said right off the bat, let's identify people, and Greg went right to the safety group. I mean, it's hard to, for defense, but look, there's two-thirds of the defense that is not gone, but, like, you know, drastic.
Right.
You know, people that have been lost, the number of people, it's just, you know, attrition through those positions. So you look at the entire secondary was at the combine. They were all seniors that all started.
Yeah.
However, the talent level for the secondary coming in, maybe just as good, if not better. One, because John Reed's back as well. I mean, John Reed would have been playing. So I'm definitely going to be looking at John Reed. But is it fair to say, look, I'm just going to be checking out position groups? It's not that the defensive line is important. You just know there are going to be people shuffling in, shuffling out. So it'll be hard to concentrate on one guy or the other from the standpoint of they may stand out as the game goes on.
Yeah.
But just how are the position groups going to handle what's going on out there at linebacker and in the entire secondary?
It is fair to question that. And within the safety, you could have mentioned any one of those individuals. Garrett Taylor, what have you done to ascend to that probable starter designation? Nick Scott, you're on the job at safety for a couple of years now. You have been a special teams ace. How ready are you to be a full-time starter at safety? And James Franklin wants to keep kind of praising him for what he thinks Nick Scott will do at the combine, how he tests.
Right.
Is he the next sort of one-year quote-unquote stopgap? Stopgap has a negative connotation, but if you look back over the years, Jordan Lucas was a one-year guy at safety. I know he went back and forth with cornerback. Malik Golden and then Troy Apke last year. Penn State has a pretty good little history going of plugging in a veteran guy like this and getting the most out of him. Lamont Wade, where are you at? You know, where are you at in your development? Garrett Taylor's a good example of why you can't take that cornerback to safety transition for granted. So there's a lot. Aaron Monroe, what's going on with him?
Yeah.
You know, from our amateur eyes, like, he had a pretty good blue-white game last year. It didn't turn into much. Where are you at? I was going to save this stat for Wednesday's show, and I don't think it's a real – maybe everybody knows it but me, but you look at the safeties, linebackers, defensive tackles. You know that Penn State has to replace bodies of the middle. How about the top five tacklers on the roster and seven out of the top eight tacklers from last year are gone?
Yeah.
You're looking for people to bring guys to the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, that number to me sums up where Penn State's at. Doesn't mean you can't do it. Just means they've got some holes to fill.
I don't know if troubling's the right word. I think that might be overstating things a little bit. But it's certainly a concern when you look at all the things that Penn State has to replace, of course, on offense, but since we're specifically talking about the defense here, I mean, you're talking about, you know, Bob Shoop always said, and Brent Pry says it too, that you want to be strong up the middle. And Penn State knows absolutely nothing about what it has at defensive tackle depth-wise, who's going to start at middle linebacker, and whether it's two safeties will be, as you know, starters that have been with the team for a long time, or maybe a guy that, you know, like Lamont Wade or Jonathan Sutherland, who's a bit younger. So if that's the part of your defense you're most worried about, guys, they have a lot to figure out between now and August.
Boy, from football terms, that sure sounds troubling, Greg.
Yeah, exactly, right, yeah.
When you
now,
bring it
I
out
do
that way.
There's a couple people that were asking to put things in perspective this week and not be so negative. So what I'll say is that Penn State's recruited really well, and they had the talent to do that. But when you go into a season, it's always nice to know exactly what you're working with in game one. And Penn State just won't have that luxury necessarily for a few weeks until they get all the pieces into places they want them to be.
It's all relative, right? So to go from troubling, maybe just puzzling. You know, as far as it's puzzling, who's going to step up and do it? But you know, they have the roster talent to step in there and get the job done. So it will be interesting and to see who steps in there and can fill those voids.
The Keystone Kickoff Show, talking blue-white game for Penn State this weekend, looking at the defense. And I don't know if we knew this or not. Maybe I'm late to the party, but did you see that Penn State designated Nick Tarburton as a defensive end?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Yep. I did not see that until now. How long ago did that happen?
It wasn't too long ago.
Okay.
And I think they'll keep changing it. It's kind of like his weight. The first time they
those
posted
little
it
changes.
Was like,
yeah.
The first weight they posted was like 260, and then all of a sudden, a couple days later, he's back down to 240. I think it'll keep changing.
What I was looking at was really this defensive end rotation. They played so many guys who are back this year. When you're talking about the blue-white game and looking at, okay, second and third stringers, whatever, but when you go to the defensive end rotation, those second and third stringers, even if you get in a little deeper in the rotation, they're pretty good players. Who are we going to see the most out of? I'm looking at guys like maybe a Daniel Joseph, for example. And if Nick Tarburton truly is a defensive end, you'll see Nick Tarburton.
Yep.
Shaka Toney, maybe. These are guys who may have played, especially in Shaka Toney's case, Daniel Joseph's case, but who may have a little bit more to prove in that end rotation, because that Penn State's defensive ends are really good and really deep. I know we talk about the deficiencies a lot and the concerns and things like that, but how much can these defensive ends atone for where Penn State's breaking in new players? Because if they're getting to the quarterback and they're not having to blitz a bunch of guys, that's a big deal. So that's something they didn't have last year.
James said it last week. It said it a lot, you know, in the middle, you know, they were probably at spring practice eight at that point. He said, we're going to need our defensive ends to create the pass rush to take the pressure off of everybody else. And he's 100% right. If Penn State is able to do that with the very deep and talented group that they have. We don't even know yet if Torrence Brown will be back. We assume he will be. We don't know yet. But even if not, Penn State's more than fine at the defensive end spot. And I think if they, well, what they'll need, though, is those guys to make plays and make them consistently.
The funny thing is you guys are talking about how, who's going to decide who the offensive linemen are. It could be Penn State's defensive ends.
Yeah,
because great, great point. The tackles, if they can't handle these guys in the blue-white game, and you see a lot of the whistle blowing and, you know, just the touch type of sacks on the quarterbacks, you don't want your offensive tackle standing out in this game in that particular way. Right. So, you know, the defensive ends may just decide who's on the left side, who's on the right side, and who's on the starting lineup.
And this is one thing, speaking to that, just at practice, too, that these offensive tackles can make some strides there, because they're going to get pushed really hard in all these different ways, because Penn State's deep at defensive end. They've also got a bunch of different kinds of options there, too. The speed, the power, the guys who are long, guys who aren't quite as long. So I think that they'll put them through the ringer. That's an interesting dynamic to watch, is how exposed these tackles are.
What would be more concerning to you, quite honestly? Would it be that the defensive ends do nothing in the blue-white game, or if the defensive ends do a lot? To me, the thing that I would rather the defensive ends win the day, and Penn State tries and knows it has five very good offensive linemen. They're going to be fine at that position in the fall. I have no doubts about that. I would like to see the defensive ends win the day at the Blue-White game.
I agree, because they're going to need to do that all year long, and the offensive linemen continue to work on it in the offseason. But these guys need to have that kind of talent level where it doesn't matter who they're up against. Yeah. They're going to be getting around the edge.
I think fan sentiment will be more positive if the offensive line emerges as a real strength, or a real perceived strength, based on what they see in this game.
It's,
I know,
they're still
I know
scarred.
What you're saying. Yeah. I think that's exactly it.
They're still scarred from all those years where the offensive line was porous.
Doubt is so deeply ingrained in these people from, you know, all these struggles along the way. And then last year was supposed to be the breakthrough. It wasn't really a breakthrough. I think people want this year to be a breakthrough on that offensive line so bad that they would much rather see those guys own what should be maybe the biggest strength on the roster, on the defensive side of the ball. They would rather see that.
Especially running the ball, because the difficulties they had.
Yeah, and I just want to go back, because we were short on time, but the point you made at the end of the last segment, the running back. We need to see something more from just Miles Sanders, because there's somebody other than Miles Sanders, rather, because, yeah, you're right. I mean, Penn State knows what it has with him. They expect him to be the guy, but who in the world comes after him? I like your pick of Journey Brown. Ricky Slade gets here in June, and we'll have as good a shot as any to play as a freshman, but it is an interesting dynamic that will be on display Saturday.
James Franklin said he wants to mix and match there more so than he did with Barkley. My question is how and with whom? I think we'll start to get some answers on that front, actually get to see these guys in person. All right, we're going to move on here. Ask Greg is coming up. These are your Penn State football and recruiting questions. They may or may not have to do with the blue-white game, too. We'll get into those in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.